here for a good time.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Thursday's live radio show on 97.1 FM. Got a great show lined up today, and I was looking out the window a second ago, and we've got blue skies. So it's pretty good at Blue Sky Broadcasting to have blue skies tag. I think that's a pretty good advertising right there for sure, and a good trend for sure. So we've got, again, a great show lined up. We have three guests today, and we will get through all of that in a bit. If you have a chance to read the Sandpoint Reader this week, I had a little guest opinion in there, and it was talking about volunteerism. The premise was this. 2 weeks ago, Ben Olson had written a story about how volunteerism was dead. All these groups are having a tough time, and there's ways to help people. So I thought, well, maybe with my Rotary perch, I thought I could at least say a few things, and I did. I just mentioned the fact that if you are right now going through news resolution blues and you haven't really jumped back into what you want to do, there are a whole bunch of groups in town looking for any kind of volunteers. And volunteerism is the number one cure for loneliness for sure and crankiness. I mean, if you think that the politics and stuff are getting you down, well, there's nothing better than helping out at the food bank or jumping with a Rotary project or a Kiwanis project or a Lions Club project to get you feeling good about yourself and the community again, too. So if you get a chance, why don't you reach out and maybe jump in? I mean, people are looking for ways to plug in all the time, and these groups are all looking for people to make a difference. So maybe do that. And now back to basketball, though, for a second. Tag and I were just talking. Of course, it's NCAA time now kicking in. We've got the WCC tournament starting now. All the big boys are, you know, starting later this week and next week. And then we have March Madness. And I just happened to say, hey, Tag, did you hear that some people have even picked Gonzaga now to make maybe the Elite Eight? And Tag said,
not a chance in the world.
No. Not a chance in the world. No. So who's going to win, Tag? What's your where's the smart money?
I like Duke and Houston. I think that's where the money's at.
Yeah.
Alabama and Auburn, they got really good offenses. Yeah. Defense, not good. But you look at Houston, every one of their games, they win with defense. So I think Houston and Duke, because it's Duke.
Cooper Flagg, you think, huh?
Oh, he's good.
Yeah,
he's really good. They have to take him out second half, like, just because he's putting up too many points and they're already winning.
Well, they want to save him.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's only a freshman. He'll be a one-and-doneer, wouldn't you say?
I would imagine.
Yeah.
You got to think talent like that. You go straight to the NBA.
But Houston, they're so fast. They're all over the court. I mean,
they're crazy.
The teams that make the court seem small are the ones that can just force those turnovers and everything else. But I always am pro Gonzaga, I guess. But
everyone.
I've seen them come along, and I've seen them, you know, riding the ship on defense for sure, and they can score pretty well. So I don't know. I mean, there's actually a betting pool right now saying that Gonzaga will beat St. Mary's in the WCC championship game if they meet up there again, which I don't know. Mark Hughes is a great coach. There's no doubt about that. But there's no bigger rivalry in basketball than these two teams. They know each other so well.
I know. Yeah. No, I like it. I think it's so hard because I think St. Mary's has beat Gonzaga twice already, but it's hard to beat a team a third time. Like, it's hard to beat a team a second time.
Right.
So now going third and it means something like a championship, I mean, Gonzaga would probably win that. I'd take money.
Would you
on
Gonzaga? That
I'd bet Gonzaga for sure.
Okay, so you Gonzaga for sure in the WCC championship, not for sure in the Elite Eight.
Elite Eight is, maybe Sweet 16. Elite Eight's very ambitious.
Well, you heard it here first, and I think betting pools are now being formed all over town, and Tag's on board to play. So, what I think I want to do is go ahead and take our first break. Like I said, we have three guests, and I want to give everybody a fair shot at some radio time today. So when we come back, we'll talk to Laura Bonneville. She's with Bonner General Hospital. She's a CBT, that'd be Charlie Bravo Tango I certified. And I don't know what that means. And guess what? We're going to find out here because I guess we could Google it in the meantime during this commercial break, but I think I'd rather have Laura tell us all about it. So when we come back, we'll have Laura Bonneville.
What's better than the perfect cut of meat for a tasty meal? That's easy. The perfect cut of meat on sale.
Super One Foods 12-hour meat sale this Thursday only, with great savings on boneless pork loin roast, $1.88 a pound. USDA Choice boneless beef sirloin tip roast, $4.48 a pound. Frozen bone-in turkey breast, 98 cents a pound.
Super One Foods 12-hour meat sale this Thursday only. The savings are sizzling.
Sale prices not available in Spokane and Colville.
This festival, Idaho Public Television, is your front row ticket. Join songwriting legends Carole King and James Taylor.
I've seen fire in a sea.
Party with Willie Nelson on his 90th birthday.
I can't wait to get on the road again.
And take the stage with Chicago. Donate and you can receive tickets to see amazing live music as a thank you gift. Join in the fun at Idaho PTV.
Summer is coming, and the YMCA wants to know, are you ready? Join the YMCA today and make the Y your place to get ready for better health and the place to get fit while making new friends. Plus, get ready for summer camps, learning, and laughter with a variety of programs for the kids and teens. Get stronger and more flexible no matter your age or fitness level. At the Y, there is so much more than classes, pools, and gym equipment. There are programs that support the whole health of your entire family. And right now, you can get started with no join fee, up to an $88 savings, and no contracts. The YMCA is a place where everyone belongs, and getting ready is different for everyone. When you add it all up, a Y membership delivers exceptional value month after month. There's never been a better time to get ready and dive into wellness. Visit YMCAINW.org today. Prorated membership dues apply. Offer good through March 23rd.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
American Heritage Wildlife Foundation needs your support. For over two decades, volunteers have been responding to ever-increasing demands to help wild reptiles, amphibians, birds, and mammals. American Heritage Wildlife Foundation is the only locally authorized conservation group providing rehabilitative care for injured and orphaned wild animals. Give time and talent. AHWF.org. AHWF.org.
News Talk 97.1 KSPT KBFI.
We're here for a good time. Not a long time. So have a good time. The sun can shine.
Well, welcome back on a great, great Thursday afternoon. Again, blue skies, sun shining, all sorts of great things. And one of my newest favorite guests is back today. And just in time for a week away from Sleep Awareness Week, which is really important stuff. Laura has been, Laura Bonneville, by the way, she's a BGH. She is a CBTI certified professional, and that's Charlie Bravo Tango Small I certified. Laura, what's that mean?
I know. It's a mouthful, isn't it?
It is.
CBTI stands for Cognitive Behavioral Therapy for Insomnia, and it is a multi-component treatment for clinical insomnia. Yeah.
There you go. Now I know. So it's about insomnia, I'm guessing.
It is.
And finding different approaches to cure that,
yes,
or address it, maybe?
Yeah. So there's different behaviors and cognitions that actually could cause somebody to have clinical insomnia. And so by addressing those and those underlying causes, we're able to adequately treat it. And CBTI is what we call the gold standard treatment for clinical insomnia. It's the first line treatment. So before you try medicines, before you try those other things, you should try CBTI.
Well, good call. And she's looking across the table at me, and I've got these baggy eyes. I've just been getting over the cold from hell, in fact. And it was funny. I've been talking to a lot of friends of mine. Everybody has this respiratory nonsense stuff that's been going on. I've had it off and on now for probably 3 weeks. My wife is deathly sick. My father-in-law is deathly sick. we were flying across from Florida, and the whole plane was coughing, and you just, you know, so I put a mask on just to kind of, you know, but I knew I was doomed, and it's just bad. So you're saying the ER has been fairly busy with people coming in with all sorts of stuff.
It has been, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And that affects your sleep too, huh? Because I've noticed I don't get the deep breaths that you kind of, as you kind of try to fall asleep. What can we do?
Yeah, well, when people are sick, I always suggest that they sleep as their body needs it, right? That's part of our immune defense, is to be able to get good, restful sleep. So typically, I would tell somebody with clinical insomnia, you know, avoid naps, follow a strict schedule. But when people are not feeling well, if you feel like your body needs sleep, then certainly sleep.
Grab it, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one to begin, because people start taking the – I was horrible, and I usually just drink a lot of water. I'm a pretty healthy guy. But I started finding, like, over-the-counter stuff, like when I was in Florida. I thought, okay, I'm going to try this. And my wife didn't. I mean, she was smart about it. But all of a sudden, I could just feel myself drying up. You know, all of my sinuses were good when I gave my speeches and such, and people didn't – they could hear me and understand me. But – all of a sudden, when I was just relaxed, all of a sudden that weird little deep cough that would come back, and then it'd just be horrible. So,
yeah.
So take care of yourself, I guess, is the moral of the story. Huh?
It is. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so now we have a time change coming up, though. And I've read before, and maybe this is an old wives' tale, I'm not sure, but whenever we spring forward, we actually, you know, lose an hour is what we do. And it messes people up, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely. So people will lose an hour of sleep on Sunday night. So it can cause something we call desynchronosis, which is just a fancy word for jet lag syndrome. So anytime you switch a bedtime or a wake time by more than an hour, it causes that desynchronosis.
Sure. And you can choose not to fall for that, right? I mean, you can go to bed early Friday night and Saturday night and kind of make up for it a bit.
Starting tonight, go to bed 15 minutes earlier than you have been. Tomorrow night, 15 minutes earlier than that. Also move up your meal times, exercise times. That's all part of what we call the circadian rhythm, or that body clock. So you gradually move it up so that Sunday isn't, or Monday morning when you wake up, doesn't feel as painful or like you are as jet lagged. And then get a lot of early morning light Monday morning to wake up that circadian rhythm.
Good call. I've been reading that these blackout curtains are a good thing, and maybe turning off any kind of electronic stuff around your bedroom. Is that important as well?
Yes, absolutely. Environment plays a large role in kind of interfering with sleep. If we have light in our environment, it prevents the full secretion of melatonin. We have a master clock, which actually detects light coming from the optic nerves. And so
even if you're asleep and your eyes are closed, you can still, you know, something's going on.
Yeah. I usually suggest people take black tape and cover, especially if they're in an apartment and that light is filtering through, that they cover up the microwave or all the little gadgets that we have that produce that light and cover them up. Yes.
What about those masks? I hear about those masks a lot. A lot of my friends, in fact, are doing that.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing?
I personally think it is. I use a sleep mask sometimes if I know that I'm going to be in a time zone where I need to kind of falsely produce a different nighttime for myself. I'll use them. I think they can be helpful. Anything that blocks out that light is helpful.
Right. And it is kind of a balance, isn't it? I mean, every day is different for people. There's more stress, less stress, all that kind of stuff too.
Yeah.
So I read again and again, you're my expert, so I'm throwing all this stuff out at you, but to have more of a normal sleep cycle, you kind of want to pick about the same amount of time to go to bed and time to get up and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, not just – so bedtimes and wake times should always be fairly consistent. I usually suggest no more than 30 minutes. But also, again, those meal times, when you're working out, having a consistent day in and day out schedule. And that means Sunday through Saturday, too. People tend to kind of cut loose on the weekends.
You can't make up for it. Is this true?
And, well, again, if your body needs the sleep, then yes, sleep. Yeah. You know, that is an important function of our immune system. But keep a consistent schedule Sunday through Saturday, waking up, going to bed, having meals at the same time. You know, that master clock in our brain, it's a special little nucleus that reads reads light from the optic nerves, but we have a built-in clock called the peripheral circadian rhythm. Essentially, every little cell in our body has a little clock molecule. And so we train that. That's based off our behaviors. And we can tell our own body what time it is by doing things at the same time consistently every day.
So you do have some control over that.
You do. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, awesome. Awesome. My wife introduced into our bedroom as like a noise machine type thing. And you have different, there's different settings. There's like an ocean shore type thing, or there's a breeze, you know, noise type of thing. Is that helpful?
If you find it helpful, then it's helpful. Yes, that's a short answer. The non-answer answer.
It's on all the time, so I think it must help. I mean, white noise, is that what that's called?
Yeah, white noise machines, yes. If there are things in your environment, noises in your environment that are going to disturb your sleep, like the sound of a train or something like that, a white noise machine absolutely can be helpful.
Well, perfect, perfect. Well, you've answered all of my questions. Was there something you wanted to talk about today, since I've taken you down this trail? And we haven't talked about what Laura wants to talk
yeah,
about.
Yeah, no, that's a great start. The only thing that I would add is there's kind of a, so there's two systems that cooperate with each other to produce both sleep and wakefulness. One of those systems is the circadian rhythm or the body clock. The second system is something called process S. That S stands for sleep drive. This is the 16 to 18 hours a day that you're awake, that you're meant to be active. And this determines like the deep quality of sleep, something we call non-REM stage three, which is repair sleep. Right. So it is kind of farmer's rules when it comes to sleep. Work hard, sleep hard, and you get that nice restorative repair sleep. So it is important to be active throughout the day, especially since so many of us have sedentary jobs now, sitting in chairs all day. So when you can squeeze in those walks and other activities, certainly do them. That will determine that the amount of deep quality sleep that you get.
Right. And some people have sleep apnea. Is that kind of the rage these days? Everybody seems to have that kind of issue.
Yeah.
And my wife has reminded me with an elbow every once in a while that when I've been sick, it's like a freight train thing going on. I'm not sure. So what do people do about that kind of situation? I mean, I imagine sleep apnea comes from different causes.
Yeah.
But the fact is that you're making lots of noise and probably not sleeping very well.
Exactly. You're not. You're actually trying to catch your breath all the time. So there's two different types of sleep apnea, obstructive sleep apnea and central sleep apnea. Anytime you're getting feedback from somebody that you're snoring a lot or it sounds like you're trying to catch your breath during your sleep, please go in and see your primary care provider. They can do an assessment and then refer you to a sleep specialist. It's really important, a sleep clinic, to get what's called a sleep study.
Got it. One last thing I was thinking about too was everybody seems to have those smart watches these days.
Yes.
And they're on your wrist when you're sleeping too, and they seem to measure, at least my Fitbit does, the different levels of sleep and how long you're in each stage and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good thing?
So we call those wearables. People have them on their wrists or other parts of their body. They're not going to be as accurate as an actual sleep study.
Right.
And I find that sometimes they cause anxiety because people will read the data on those and think, oh my gosh, I didn't get enough of this type of sleep. So I'm very cautious with those.
Are you?
Yes.
I mean, so it's good information, but don't base your health care on that.
Exactly. Yes. The technology's not quite there yet. It'll probably get there in the next couple of years, but it's not there yet.
Yeah, but it seems like it's getting closer all the time.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the wearables are kind of the thing, it seems like, for all sorts of stuff.
Which will be exciting when we get really good data from those, yeah.
So takeaways, one is we're getting close to springing forward. Try to bank a little more sleep, perhaps, kind of get into it a little
bit. Starting tonight.
Starting tonight. So I think that's great advice. And it's funny because this show repeats on Friday and or Saturday.
Okay.
So tonight's still tonight. It's still ahead of the spring. So
there you go.
It is good advice anyway. Laura Bonneville, great seeing you again. I'm glad you stopped by. And thanks for the great timely advice, for sure, with the time change and all that kind of stuff. And I better get this thing checked out, I guess. My wife says I'm snoring.
Yes, you should.
I better do that. So so after the break, we'll have Allie Bransky from the Festival of Sandpoint, that's a great cure for sleep issues, too, because, you know, a couple nights in a row of the festival, but that third night, you know, I'm home and I'm in bed. I sleep like a little child. I truly do. So we'll be right back with Allie again. Thank you so much, Laura, for stopping by.
Thank you.
Kelsey Ballerini. But I miss me more. The ACM and CMA Award winner. Live. Cowboys Friday, March 14th, Spokane Arena. Kelsey Ballerini, with special guests The Japanese House and Marin Taylor. Tickets on sale now at KelseyBallerini.com. Don't miss Kelsey Ballerini, live.
While retinitis pigmentosa takes Mark's vision, his family gives him hope, whether at the family business or at home with his wife and sons. He knows he's not fighting alone. For 50 years, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has funded research into treatments and cures for blinding retinal diseases, providing hope to people with vision loss. And for Mark, winning the fight means being there for his family. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Help us end blinding diseases at fightingblindness.org.
Celebrate Bi-Mart's 70th anniversary during our open house with our latest savings book. Storewear's 23-gallon storage totes are $8.99. Arm & Hammer liquid detergent is $2 off. Save $1 on Pedigree bag dry dog food. Stock up on seed packets. They're 50% off. And there's great savings on pantry essentials. During our open house, members and non-members can stop in and save now through March 10th at Bi-Mart. Saving the Northwest more since 1955.
For almost 100 years, Adams Tractor has been your trusted partner, helping farmers, homeowners, and businesses thrive with the best equipment, service, parts, and support. Whether you're plowing fields or tackling a weekend project, we bring the power of the number one selling Kubota tractors right to your doorstep. Adams Tractor, a name you can trust, built on 95 years of experience, dedication, and a passion for our community. Get your Kubota at one of our five locations today or visit us online at adamstractor.com.
Hi, I'm Austin Polson, a potato, sugar beet, and wheat farmer from Bingham County, Idaho. Farmers have done what's best for our land for generations, so why is the litigation industry threatening our best defense against weeds? Without glyphosate, crop yields would drop, and we'll all see even higher grocery bills. As farmers, we don't need to be controlled, we need to be supported. Keep glyphosate available in our state. Show your support at TakeControlIdaho.com.
Paid for by Modern Ag Alliance in support of Idaho farmers.
Every 40 seconds, someone in the U.S. has a heart attack, and the Bonner General Health Emergency Department encourages you to learn the warning signs of a heart attack and when to seek emergency care. Common signs are pain or discomfort in the chest, arms, back, neck, jaw, or stomach, shortness of breath, nausea, lightheadedness, or sudden cold sweats. If you suspect a heart attack, call 911. Our team is ready to care for you right here in downtown Sandpoint. For more information, visit bonnergeneral.org.
Well, welcome back to Live Local Radio. What a great show we've had so far, and it's only going to get better. I have Allie Baranski with me right across the table to talk about all things festival at Sandpoint, and I think you've got some announcements about a festival artist poster person being picked and some other things going on. So, Allie, how are you doing?
I'm well. How are you, David?
I'm doing great. I really am.
Good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So what do you want to hit first? I look across here, and I see the ultimate bullet point list of things she wants to cover. And it's kind of like, I don't know, how do you say it? It's like we've got a few more minutes left, and all of a sudden we're not going to get through all of it, I'm sure. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to shut up right now and let you talk. So it's all yours.
Well, I always like to re-highlight who we have announced so far for our artists, because that's just a really exciting part of
it
what
is.
We do. So we obviously have Kansas coming Friday, August 1st. Those tickets are on sale. Brothers Osborne on Thursday, July 31st. Sierra Farrell on Friday, July 25th. This one's a mouthful. So we have a four-pack is what I call it. So four acts in one night. So much that doors open a whole hour early. Dispatch with John Butler and band. Joined also by G Love and Special Sauce and Donovan Frankenrider, and that is all on Saturday, August 2nd.
That is a long list, isn't
I know.
It? Holy smokes! But what a show that'll be!
I know it's going to be. It's a lot of music,
right.
So if you're a music lover, that's a great night.
And I did the math. It sounds like you may have a couple still nights to fill.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. We have some announcements coming up. I think we'll probably at least have two in the next couple weeks. So keep your...
So you have two more nights available? Two more slots? Or what?
No, we have a few more than that. So we always have the grand finale programming that we will be announcing very soon. And then we will have three other headliner nights that are still on the docket to be announced. So
wouldn't that be funny for somebody to follow behind the scenes of what happened there? You know, 100 years ago, I was on the festival board too. And I would watch the booking group and... So many moving parts. I mean, it really is a funny story, isn't it? How people line up, then they kind of don't. Then they have a booking agent that says, let's do this, and then they don't. And
it is an emotional roller coaster. I feel like I have described it as trying to buy 10 houses in a market that's like a seller's market, and trying not to get emotionally attached to any of the offers. That is what it is like to book. And it's just, it's kind of like gambling. Throw out so many offers, but our window's so small. We're in rural northern Idaho. Most of them we want routed.
Right.
And so for all those stars to align and for us to have enough money to outbid maybe someone else in the region, it's very tricky, and we do what's called holding. So there's like first right of refusals, but there could be up to six.
Really? So that is real estate related, isn't it?
Yes. Wow. And so of artists, you know, the sixth position could challenge, and everyone has 48 hours to make up their mind. And so people always ask what I think the lineup's going to look like. I'm like, there would be no universe in which I could guess what our lineup would be, just because there's so many things at play.
But you have your fantasy lineup, don't you?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course.
And you always try to go there if you can, right? And hopefully land one or two of those in your lifetime, you'd be happy.
We have wish lists really of all different genres. Like if we could pick country, these are our top. If we could pick classic rock, and you know, there will be people that we've offered on. When I was on the board previously, like, we've offered on every year for 9 years, and just the stars haven't aligned yet, but we're not going to stop trying.
Right. Well, I remember one time, Dierks Bentley wasn't quite established or famous yet, and they signed on the dotted line, and I think that was the year he won the CMA award and all sorts of stuff, and boom, I mean, it was a huge, huge, huge concert too.
Yeah, and just technology, Spotify, like how people discover music, social media has made it so people can go from a nobody to like all of a sudden headlining stadium tours within a year or two. So it's that window of fame has been escalated over the years. So it's kind of fun to get them.
Well, you've done a great job of getting people here. And again, people should recognize behind the scenes stuff. They don't. A lot of people don't. But how are ticket sales going, though? How are we doing?
Really good. We did record-breaking year for closing out January. We've never sold that many that early. I mean, it helps when you book earlier and go on sale sooner.
Sure.
We used to work with a consultant to help book. He was kind of like the realtor. but I felt like sometimes I was finding my own houses. But so now it's all in-house. So that has made it, we can do things a little bit quicker. We're a little nimbler. But yeah, it's been really great. Things are selling really well, which is always a really great indication. And we're just so grateful for our fans and the people who support us and trust, you know, what's coming.
Absolutely. One unique thing, and I guess it's unique to the festival a bit, and I know there's other festivals who tried this, but your posters, aren't they great? I mean, and I used to collect all of them, you know, and it's just each one is unique to the artist, of course, but there's just some that just really speak, you know, to the history here, to the festival, the uniqueness of the venue, all that kind of stuff. And it sounds like you may have an artist this year.
Yeah, we actually just announced. So the fine arts poster every year, it's switched in the last few years that it's a competition. So people submit works of art, and then it goes to a panel. And it's really, really fun and really inspirational to see what our community has talent-wise. So this year we just announced that the poster artist is Perky Smith Hagedon. We actually don't reveal the actual piece until July at our sponsor appreciation event, but we like to start promoting them and getting people excited.
Sure.
So Perky was just selected. The piece is titled While Cantata. And it's cool to see these different people in our community who maybe not everyone knew was an artist, but she worked in LP QSG for 28 years, was a principal and a teacher. And
she had the greatest field trip. So spring break, they go down to Central America and all sorts of cool stuff for
the
kids.
That's what I love about
and she's fairly infamous, too. You know, that might be Zach Hagedorn's mom. Some people might know her that way, too.
Yeah.
Just a great teacher, great person. And so you've already seen her submission. So that's what the poster is going to be.
Yes.
That's how that works. Okay.
Yes. Wow. So, and when we started the competition, we were also overwhelmed by how many young people were submitting. And so we have now essentially divvied it out into two categories, fine arts poster versus the lineup poster.
Okay.
And the last 3 years, we've been able to select a student, and they get a scholarship because of it. And then they're normally graphic design that we then are able to put our lineup, our names of who's coming.
Oh, cool.
And so that was also selected. And her name is Gracie Duncan, and she is, majoring in graphic and web design from North Idaho College. So those are always super fun to like see both sides of it. See these like very accomplished artists with the fine arts poster, and then also have this youth element that they get a scholarship. It's a great resume thing for them. And then the big part of like the tradition that's 42 years old is that piece is essentially donated to the festival. And then it goes on, up for auction.
Right.
So it opens up in early, I think July 8th, at the event. It kind of, the auction begins, and then it closes out on our grand finale show. And those proceeds go to the festival as a nonprofit. But we also, it's super fun for the artists because we love to highlight them, and we make merch out of their art. So there's, you can buy a poster, you can get a t-shirt. So it's a really fun collaborative way for us to help highlight some of our local artists.
And get the poster autographed that way too, which is kind of cool.
It's really super fun. I love when people talk about their collections at their businesses or homes, and just like 42 years worth of so much talent here.
Yeah, we can't put up that many in our house, but we've got a few floating around.
People said I had to stop collecting because I just ran out of space. But so they pick and choose.
And they're all really, like, again, so local and so colorful. And great.
And we still have all of them. So we make sure to always have prints. So if you were like, I'm missing 1992, we have it at the office.
And there's a couple that were, there was one year where there's different sizes. I remember the first couple of years, they were like little ones. But then those are fun too. But it is unique. If you are looking for something uniquely Sam Quinn, stop by the festival office probably and buy them.
Yep. So. You can buy them there. And then we take submissions for the competition. I mean, really any time, but most of them come in from September through the beginning of February is when the cutoff is. But it's just a great way to, you know, get involved. And
what if you don't win? What do you do with the ones that, because I'm sure there's some really good ones.
Yeah.
And how hard, it's like Miss America type thing.
Oh,
I mean, you can only have one winner and the rest are really good, you know, and all that. So what do you do with the other ones?
Well, it is still the property of the artist, but we always really, because some years they're so close. And so we're like, please resubmit. I mean, if you made something specifically for this, please resubmit. Some of them aren't always like very festival focused. Last year, it was a goat on a mountain, which is very like Scotchman's Peak wilderness.
Oh, yeah.
And so because it was so focused on the region and not on us, we actually split proceeds with that nonprofit.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Good. So it's just been a fun way to branch out into different art medium and involve the community and highlight our talents here.
Good. Well, that sounds, again, that's a great touch. And that was a beautiful poster too. In fact, friends of mine were dating when we went hiking up to Scotchman's Peak. And so they gave me a copy of that print and framed and for a Christmas present this year. So
cool.
That was pretty cool.
Oh,
so lots of memories that way for sure too.
What
else is going on as we've got about a minute left?
Okay. Well, we have 3 new board members. So that's always really exciting. Our board is volunteer and they do put a lot of work into kind of overseeing the organization. And that is Bea Speakman, Liz Morris, and Caleb Keaton.
Awesome.
So that's been really exciting to get new volunteers in. And then just wanting to always highlight that our education programs today, I just want to talk a little bit about our pre-K outreach. Essentially, Paul Gunter, our education manager, goes into all of these early childhood development schools, and it's completely free, and he teaches music classes. That is an age group that has the biggest gap nationally in music education. And so it's really fun to see us going into, I think, 5 schools now that get free music education from the festival at Sandpoint.
And what a way to make a difference that way, too, because you don't know who that next person is, that next star, who that little flicker waiting for a little push, you mm-hmm. know, and all of a sudden, and you offer that up, and you never know, do you? I mean, this is such a musically inclined community, too, an arts community, just to see that idea that you maybe reach a kid who may not have even known. So, mm-hmm. that's great.
And just like there's some natural talents that we discover that like this kid needs to get into music, and knowing that at four
Absolutely.
Years old,
yeah.
It's pretty powerful.
Yeah. Well, speaking of pretty powerful, it was nice talking to you again. The festival keeps moving, the juggernaut keeps moving along, and there's great stewardship by you and the board, and we're looking forward to great things. And we made a deal that we're going to keep talking on the air. This is going to be a monthly thing at least, and maybe more if you'd like, Allie. We'd like to keep people loving their festival for
yeah.
sure. So
well, I appreciate being invited and being here. Thanks.
Well,
David.
It's always my pleasure too. So we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're talking Downtown Sandpoint Business Association, and maybe even a rusty trunk thing thrown there for good too. So again, we will catch up after the break.
It's March, and we here at the Pondere Winery are excited for our first wine club release of the year. We have an amazing Malbec and our consistently delicious Syrah for red wine lovers, and for those patiently awaiting our popular Albarino, the wait is over. If you aren't a member yet, membership is painless and free. It entitles you to great discounts every time you buy and offers first access to our newly released wines and events. We invite you into our lovely tasting room located at 301 Cedar in downtown Sandpoint and are open noon till 8 Tuesday through Saturday. The Pondere Winery, proudly producing award-winning wines for the past 30 years.
Has the little leprechauns in your house been up to some shenanigans? Is the chaos turning you green? Bring those little green folk into the Rusty Trunk in Bonner's Ferry in Pondere and pick up a St. Patty's Day coloring contest sheet. There are three age categories with prizes and fun for everyone. Sure, and by golly, 18 little leprechauns are going to win some treasure. Courtesy of the Rusty Trunk, where you always find a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
It's that time of year again when you hear about all those fad diet commercials. This is not one of them. At Spokane Weight Loss, we have cracked the code to weight loss resistance. Our program is unlike any other program out there. We focus on getting to the root cause of weight loss resistance and fixing it. We make it easy to lose weight, get healthy, and get your energy back safely, naturally, and effectively with our unique program. At Spokane Weight Loss, we naturally fix what is broken at a cellular level for our clients, and they often see rapid results of half a pound to a pound a day loss with lasting results. Don't take our word for it.
Hi, it's Josh. I lost 47 pounds, 21 inches, and I'm off all the meds that I was on for obesity-related illnesses. I know the secret, and so can you.
Start living a healthier lifestyle today by calling Spokane Weight Loss now. 509-316-2755. 509-316-2755. That's 509-316-2755. SpokaneWeightLoss.com.
Hi everybody, it's Toshi here from Connie's Cafe and Lounge in downtown Sandpoint. Most people know Connie's for great breakfast and Bloody Marys, but Connie's has grown to be so much more. The first choice for family gatherings and community events. Every day the lounge features a different way to connect with the community. Pool tournament, the fastest growing interactive trivia, cribbage, and live local musicians every Friday and Saturday night. Connie's Cafe and Lounge in Sandpoint, where families and communities connect.
Since 1990, Brown's Northside Machine and Gear has been your local diesel and heavy equipment expert, serving the logging, trucking, and construction industry. They stock instant chains and carry the reliable Deca line of batteries. Stop by the shop located on Triangle Drive behind the Bonner Mall. Their ASC-certified master mechanics can help keep your equipment on the road all winter long. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 5, Fridays until 6. Brown's Northside Machine and Gear.
Well, welcome back to our last segment of the live North Idaho radio on 97.1. You can also find us streaming anytime you want, 24/7 on northidahoradio.com. So if you listen to the radio a lot, which I assume you do since you're listening to us right now, there's some pretty cool ads running out there for the Rusty Trunk. And the Rusty Trunk has just been one of these companies that has bubbled up. You know, started out in Pondere here a few years ago now. It seems like, wow. And now they're in Bonner's Ferry. And not only is it just an antique-type place, but they're expanding some different directions. And Maybe there might be somebody here to tell us a little bit about what's going on in the Rusty Trunk. Maybe up in, I don't know, Bonner's Ferry?
Yeah, we've got, well, actually, we've got Kingsley Hill. I even have it written down. Kingsley Hill, who has done an incredible book for teens and tweens. And, I'm going to let him tell you a little bit about that a little more because he's so animated with his, I just love listening to his stories, but we have book signings, at Bonner's Ferry at Saturday from 11 to 2 is correct?
That's right. Yes.
And then next, and then, the next one is Saturday the 15th in Ponderay from 11 to 2.
Oh, good. Okay.
And then the book signings, there's also going to be a discount on the books for those 2 days. So, but you know, I don't really know, as much as I'd like to know about his books, because I just love listening to the stories.
And the accent. You like the accent.
Oh, the accent is so cool. And I know that you have a little connection there too. So I'm going to let Kingsley tell you a little bit about the books and what he's offering at the store.
Well, great, Kingsley. Welcome for one thing. And
thank you.
What a unique idea. I think that's great to just bring more people into the world of Rusty Trunk, but also find some exposure for yourself that way too, because people are attracted to these stores and, it should be a win-win. But I don't know anything about you, so why don't you tell us about you a little bit and what we might see if we stop by the Rusty Trunk.
Yeah, well, I originally hatched out in South Wales in the UK, grew up there driving on the other side of the road most of the time. Depends what you're doing on a Friday night. but if you weren't the son of a coal miner and you couldn't or didn't know how to use your fist, you were picked on in Wales. And being a quiet kid, I spent a lot of time hiding in the playground. And when I was 15, you can leave school at 15 and a half in the UK if you're going on to university. And I can remember my headmaster, he paid me £10 not to come back to school. He said, look, you just don't fit in. You're the worst behaved pupil since 1968.
Oh my.
Or something like that. But he gave me £10 and hey, I went straight.
Did you live up to it?
I did. I went straight to the pub.
At what age?
This was about 14 and a half.
Oh, very good. Good.
So, but anyway, I didn't go back to school, and decided to disengage society. So I lived in a cave, for just shy of 2 years. And you'd think that's something you couldn't do. You'd have the authorities coming to try and drag you back to society. But as I say, you're allowed to leave school at 15, 15 and a half. And I made friends with this amazing horse, this great stallion who used to chase me into the sea. Used to chase me into the into the Irish Sea. Hmm. And the Gower Peninsula is the area where I grew up. And it's the oldest, really the equivalent of what would be a national park, say, in the U.S. It was the oldest and most established national park in all of Britain.
Oh. Hmm.
And there were wild horses, prehistoric caves, one which I made my home. Hmm. And lived in this place where, my high school's teacher once told me just before I was, he paid me to leave school, was, you're going to be left behind, boy, 60 million years behind. And he was quite right on that one.
Yeah, with the cave.
I lived in this cave.
And so is this experience reflected in some of your tales? Your
books? Very, very much so. If you live in a cave, so many of the distractions of everyday life are gone. And all of a sudden you've got to live your life sort of on, from the inside out.
Sure.
And I can remember being so afraid of silence. You think of silence as something without noise. Well, silence like had a voice. Hmm. And it took me about 3 weeks to get used to just the sounds of, the sounds of just the stillness alone and the heaviness of the air that seemed to be like stale in that cave. It was like going back in time. You know, I'd have conversations. You know you're bored in a cave when you have conversations with this prehistoric cave family
that
lived millions of years ago.
right?
And I talked to them just like I was talking to you.
How did you turn it into a book, though, or a series of books? What was the... There was a trigger between just talking to yourself into, you know, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely,
and then
yeah.
And putting in print. How did that happen?
Well, I start off with I build the biggest fire I could at night so I could fall asleep before I got too scared and couldn't go to sleep anyway.
Sure.
So I would write poetry to the candle or to the firelight. Sometimes I stole candles from the local store, and light was a big thing for me, so
sure.
I'd write with the light that I had. And so that's where my poetry was born. Mm-hmm. And after that, I entered a few poetry competitions, and people were quite amazed. Did you write this? I said, yeah, you know, I wrote that. And then people said, well, why don't you write a book? Have you thought about writing a book?
Right.
So I wrote my first book a while ago now. So I'm 13 books in now.
Well, good for you. Are you self-published, or do you have a publishing house?
What
do you?
I've had a publishing house before. I'd like to publish my own material.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I found it too limiting.
Sure.
I wanted to do.
And so these books, or several of these books, will be available at the Rusty Trunk? Is that where we're...
They will, yeah. I'm just in the middle of a series called The Mermaids of Mumbles. My wife, Janae, and I were in Scotland, and two mums said, if anyone would just write a book about mermaids, they'd just fly off the shelves. You know, and Scotland is a land full of myths and legends. And
absolutely.
So I came back, and I wrote this... series about four Celtic mermaids and their adventures. So the pre-teen, especially girls, are loving these books.
Good. So, are you self-taught then? I mean, is that any kind of formal education for writing poetry, or are you?
Self-taught.
Okay. Good.
Just the wildness of life, I think, has been my biggest teacher.
Well, it sounds like it translates pretty well, too. So give me the hours again when people can come by and check you out and hear your great voice. And maybe, are you doing a reading as well, perhaps? Or are you?
I've got some poetry to read.
Okay.
There'll be a poem in...
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So the book signing with Kingsley Hill is going to be 11 to 2 this Saturday in Bonner's Ferry. And then Saturday the 15th in Ponderay from 11 to 2. And also the books will have, for the event, they'll have a discount for them if you're purchasing them. And obviously you'll have Kingsley sign them for you.
Well, absolutely, yeah.
Tell you more about them.
Yeah, it'll be worth more when you're dead, but at least you have an autograph.
Right, exactly. That's what I tell my husband.
I'll see you living.
Yes. So he has the Mermaid series, The Mermaids of Mumble, and Cave. Are you going to be having Cave Days there as well?
I will. I'll have
Cave Days. That's super exciting. Cave Day sounds like such a neat... I mean, who does that?
And I just think the idea of pulling the plug like you did and then looking inward and then becoming who you are now, I mean, that was a transitional moment for your life.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
A lot of people said, well, wasn't that a dark time? And yes, in many ways it was. But I think staying in those dark places, we can learn so much. And for me... it literally gave me a career.
Yeah, well, there you go. And
that's awesome.
Being kicked out of school was the best exam I ever took.
So if any kids are listening here, that's not the path to always take, just so you know.
Absolutely no.
That's if you like it to be dark. If you really like the dark caves, then go for it.
Right. Well, I'm excited to hear more about what you're doing. This is great. And unfortunately, we're running out of time here, but if people want to know more about it,
The Rusty Trunk in Ponderay or Bonner's Ferry, and just ask for Julia, and she'll give you all the information.
Very good. What a way to start that way, too. And there are some pretty cool ads out right now. And you're talking about this as well?
Yeah. Yes, we're talking about this. The Mermaids of Mumbles, we have that on one of our ads that we're doing. And I love your Talbin made it so beautiful. It has like a full... foghorn in the background. So it's, you know, it's got all the
very
components,
fun.
So it's
very fun. And I don't even know how you guys are together on this whole thing, but it's
because I do all kinds of stuff, the Rusty Trunks advertising. So Julia puts me in where she needs me.
Oh, yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah.
Well, it benefits everybody. And again, yeah. As I was telling you off air, my wife and my daughter love those stores, and they go out of their way. And all of a sudden, I saw a credit card receipt for, I don't even know, way too much. But it was good, and they're happy.
It was something beautiful, I'm sure.
It sure was. So anyway, Rusty Trunk, that sounds really good. Great meeting you. It's fun. I've never read the books, so I may have to catch up to you a little bit on that whole thing. I have published a few books myself, but nothing as fun as living in a cave. I mean,
no, not right. Yeah. Me either.
Very good. Well, again, thanks for your time today. I appreciate it. Thanks for stopping by, and thanks for being so quiet over there in the corner. That was great. And we will. We're signing off right now. We will catch you next week, right here, same time, same place. And you have a great week.